We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everybody, it's Fair Change. It's our weekend edition of Stacking Pennies presented by Mobile One. Corey is fresh off practice and qualifying. He looked good in practice in those 15-lap averages. It is Corey LaJoy, Ryan Flores, Danielle Trotta. Let's get into it.
Hey, Danielle. Hope you're doing well. It's nice to see you at the racetrack. I have been in better moods than I am right now, not going to lie. As we record this, I'm half an hour removed from taking a really good car and qualifying 30th with it, and we can break that down here in a minute. And then Ryan, I know, is in a heated discussion with the crew chief on the 12 to figure out what pit box you're going to select for today's event.
Well, it's not just me. He just texted the whole team. What do you guys think about this? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where everybody picks. It's a tight pit road. But what happened,
man? Weren't you saying last week that, would you say 10 or 26 was the best stall?
There's a couple of them. I know 10 is pretty good at the end of the straightaway there with an opening out. Anywhere, like the bookends of the straightaway are good, and then obviously the 19s. I would assume the 19s going to pick one. We'll see. They've moved. Well, pit stall one here used to be a huge advantage, and everybody still kind of thinks it is. But what happened when they cut the field down from 43 cars to 40 cars, or whatever we start now, it's 36, right? They cut a couple pit stalls away, so they actually moved that pit stall back, so it's further back from the timing line that it used to be. So it's not the advantage that it was, say, in the early 2000s, like we were used to seeing.
I think Larry said the most winners at Martinsville history have started in the 20 in box 26. So I didn't know if that was random or you thought there was something to it. But
That's a McNugget.
That's a McNugget. Corey, I was waving to you. I was right there at the entrance of turn three, buddy. I don't know if I brought you up, but P2 in your practice group. That was good.
Yeah, I mean, we have a really good car. I was really happy with it. Fell off a little bit on the long runs, which I was a little concerned about. But I think this is a track with the temperature the way it is, the way the rubber laid down today. Going out on a green track was a little bit of a false read for us, unfortunately, where after the track rubbered up after 10 minutes or so, that's kind of the balance the track was the rest of the day. And then we just didn't adjust our car to compensate for that, and we got in qualifying. We went out early, went out sixth in our group A, and was just plowing tight, chattered the front tires. So that was, everybody was pretty aggravated about that, Sparks, myself, and Roy, because we knew we had a really good car. We still do have a really good car, but it's going to be, unfortunately, where you start here is kind of where you run. Hopefully we can catch a yellow, stand lead lap, keep chipping away at under caution, get a couple on pit road, and then kind of work our way to the top 15. But first time I think ever Josh Williams, just making sure that I'm all good here. Appreciate that, Josh. So yeah, it's the first time we've been in the top of the sheet, 5, 10 lap, 15 lap averages. So that's good. I know we got a good race car. We have to make the right adjustment. That also just goes to show how freaking tight it is. If you miss it by a tenth and a half, you can go from a top 12 car to a 30th place car in one lap. So pretty frustrated, but we got to work that out for us today, and I'm excited for the challenge.
So MRN was all, they were all the talk on MRN. They were talking about your 10, 5, 10, 15 lap average. And then you come down here and say that you don't have good long run speed. So that's where do you think it falls off at?
I think we were really
fall
fast
off after 20.
I think we were really fast after, fast to fire. Obviously we ran a couple teams, a couple 20s on that green racetrack. And then after, you know, everybody, after the track gets a layer of rubber on it, and then you're slipping, sliding around it, and feel like we were quite as good. I was right behind the four. Him and I kind of paced each other lap for lap for over a 30-lap run. He got me. He maybe stretched it by a car length over the course of those 35 laps. But I think we made enough pace the first 10 laps to set us up for to be good on those averages when it was a green racetrack, right? So the track was completely black for the second round, or for the second group. And then, so those guys weren't going to have fire off speed like Group A did, and we capitalized on it a little more than everybody else. Unfortunately, we just did not adjust our car enough for how much the track went tight to qualifying, and it was enough to be slow.
Sorry, bud. I know that things were going good there, though. Like Ryan said, you were all the talk in the media center, too. 15-lap average. You were top five. P2 on the board. Things were looking really good in practice. Let's handicap these playoff guys. Flores, you guys are going to roll off 11th tomorrow. On the lap, I don't know if you guys saw this, too, but it wasn't, like, chattering or, like, Laney found bumps, but the car was, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But he was P5 for his lap in his group, so... What'd you make of the 12?
Yeah, like I said, I listened to it on MRN, and it just sounded like he lost a little bit of momentum off of turn four, like he maybe had a moment off of four where he got sideways. And then to be able to, you know, he still ended up fifth, wasn't able, probably the worst place to lose time on a qualifying lap is off of four on your white flag lap, because you lose the time coming to the start-finish line for your first lap, and you also lose the time at the end of the straightaway for your second lap. So, like, if there's anywhere that you're ever going to slip a tire, off of four is the death sentence. So, to still, you know, have probably a run that he didn't want to have, that wasn't optimal to end up 11th, that'll still put us in the game for a decent pit stall selection. And, yeah, and you can score stage points from there. That's going to be the name of the game, right? Getting stage points and just chipping away at it all day. Man, the talk has been, though, these tires. You're the only guy that I've talked to that's driven on them. Are they as important or less important? What do you think? Is it going to be, do they get faster as you run? Do they fall off? Are you going to be bolting tires on it every chance you get?
I think Group A yesterday, or I guess today, is a little bit of a false reading for the amount of fall off you got, because a Martinsville track with no rubber on it's going to be a half second fast. So the best group to look at is that group two, where the track was rubbered up. I think there was 13, the top 13 in practice were all in group one, just from the track having that much more grip in it until it took rubber. So I think if you looked at the fall off from in group B, guys that fired off, the 12 was strong, the 19 was strong, and their fast laps were in the 30s, high 30s, and they fell off to 70s, 80s. So you're looking at a little bit less than a half second over 30, 35 laps. Not a ton of fall off, but the track does take a lot of rubber, and you're going to be seeing some different lines, guys opening their entries up, trying to get a straighter drive. I think what you see is just every car so close in speed. You're literally looking at hundredths of a second, sometimes thousandths of a second that separates three or four cars. So if somebody has the advantage of cleaner air, then they're going to have the advantage. So it's going to be hard to pass. We all know that. But I do think you're going to see the top get working a little bit, that lane two drive off the bottom. I think you're going to see some guys wrapping the curb tight, guys who have some good forward bite built in their car. But you're going to have some options today, I believe.
So two tires going to be a play, or is it going to be a four-tire day all day?
I guess we need to go back and look at our wears. Our right sides are wearing them more than our lefts. But I don't know what the longevity that looks like. They'll make graphs and do the whole thing, see if rights. I'm sure rights, you know, with less than 50 laps on your lefts would be definitely a play.
The talk is, too, it's warm here. I mean, it's in the 80s. It's going to be in the 80s tomorrow. That's going to help this tire. So we'll see how that takes shape over 500 laps. Predictions, guys? Truex, Flores, you called it, said not a momentum team. They can go from zero to hero in 1 week. He's off to a good start on the pole. Denny Hamlin, his Toyota teammate, also minus 17. He's going to start fourth. Larson and Bell, they're locked in the top seven. Who cares? They're already locked in. You guys are 11th. Byron starting 16th. That's a little deeper than I anticipated. I talked to another Cup driver, Corey. They said the Penske's looked really strong and were surprised at the lack of speed maybe the Hendrick cars were showing. Reddick took a 360 spin in qualifying. He's going to start 19th. Buescher 18th. Who do you guys like, and who are you concerned about for tomorrow?
I haven't seen somebody just spin out on a qualifying lap like I saw Tyler Reddick spin out. Now, I don't put too much stock into that. He's pushing it, trying to get to the final five, transfer to the second round of qualifying. I think he was okay on averages. He was in the top three or so as well. You know, I don't know if I put a whole lot of stock into that. The 12 was pretty good. Who else hung up pretty well, looked like? I mean, the four looked surprisingly good. He looked smooth. He wasn't spinning tires. He was catching whoever was in front of our group, and he was gapping me a little bit over the course of that day. And we all know that he's Mr. Consistency, right? He's going to chip away at it, starting in the top 10. I would love to see Harvick in the mix here. I know he's not a playoff guy, but I would love to see him in the mix contending for a dub.
Yeah, that was right where I was going. Listening to Martin Truex on MRN, he wasn't like super confident about his race car. He said he built really free. So we'll see kind of where the Toyotas go. They had some crazy fire off speed. All of them did. All of them are in the top 10 for qualifying. But if there's going to be a race that Harvick wins before he chucks us the deuces next week and goes up to the booth, I think this is the one that he's going to capitalize on. Obviously, he's great at Phoenix too, but like Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, right? This is just a place that like kind of falls into the realm of these guys that are leaving. So we'll see if he can capitalize on that. That would be my pick as well. Obviously, I don't want to see the 19 or the 11 win. And the 45 is going to have a long road to hoe, but who knows?
That's why you got to tune in.
Who's your pick, Danielle?
Well, going into the weekend, I chose Byron starting 16th. But he has that just big points gap. I mean, he only needs 36 points and I think 26 points if we have a repeat winner. So the chances of him not imploding because they're just so consistent, I still think is good, even though he's starting 16th. I think they find a way to kind of overcome that. And they really don't have to be heroes. Like, I don't think Byron needs to do a lot. I just think he needs to hit it straight down the fairway. And that's what they do every single week. What do you guys think?
They got to be feeling good about their chances for sure.
Yeah.
Regardless if they have somebody from the outside of the cut line win or not. But, I mean, hey, two stages if they're on the outside of the top 10 and you know, Blaney gets a fifth and a sixth, you know, it's not insurmountable. But they got to be feeling pretty comfortable. You know, I don't think that they're super – I don't think that they're already mailed a check in to see all Phoenix next week. But they got to be feeling good about it. Like you said, fairway drive gets those guys in. And I think – with the 12 too, it's like keep everybody at bay. But it is, I would be a little bit concerned seeing the Toyotas have as much pace as they have starting outside the top 10. But it'll be a freaking exciting race. I do know that.
Can't wait to see what happens. Truex and Denny are going to be starting up front, both inside the top five. Denny said he'll be on kill. Not surprising. I think he'll do what he needs to do. Truex is hungry. I mean, Blaney looked super fast, so. Can't wait to see how it shakes out. I think Byron's going to lock up a spot, and then I think it'll be between Truex, Denny, and Blaney for the last one.
I agree with that.
Truex said, somebody asked him in the media center, they said, do you want constant updates? And he said, it's going to be so, track position so key. He said, if I'm like not within a point of those other guys, like don't even tell me. Because it's just going to be too hard to make up any ground, and then that just pisses you off even more. So
right, yeah, you're not making up 12 during a run.
Yeah,
I got breaking news. I got some breaking news for you.
Breaking.
What you got?
We are in pit stall 40. 39 would be the 7 car. So mind your business tomorrow,
Corey. Play nice.
I'm angled out all day.
Oh man, no, yeah, you'll be in front of us. So yeah.
So is that on the corner?
Yeah, it's the first two boxes in. So first you and I. First two boxes in, we're down there. I don't know if you call it 43 or whatever. I don't know what numbers they are because they change. But yes, you and I will be next to each other. We will be the first box in from the racetrack. You will be the second. Well, hey man, I'll see you tomorrow down there in turn four or turn three.
So are the boxes down there, since it's in the corner, are they bigger?
No, they're curved though. I think they're the same size. I think they do a little bit of a V. right? Like a little bit of that, but it's not like insurmountable. The problem is the line is curved as well, right? So it'd be easy to get your right front on the line.
Hmm. Who's a little tidbit for you?
I did not know.
Okay. But, well, hopefully I don't mess y'all's day up, man.
Hey.
Hopefully I would see you pulling in front of y'all.
If you do and you mess our bonus up, then you can just buy my kids Christmas present. That's fine.
Okay.
Try to work have a good one. Together, guys. Best of luck, Flores. Best of luck, Corey. Can't wait to see the show tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. It's going to be a good one. Where can people find it, Danielle?
2:30 p.m. Eastern time on NBC. We will see you there. This is Spare Change, Stacking Pennies, presented by Mobile One. Enjoy the race, everybody. We are deciding who's going to Phoenix to fight for a title.
Bye.